Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota on Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.
Well, hello, everybody. This is John Michael Talbot. All things are possible with God. Do you ever feel like you don't want to do what your boss says, what the church says, what your wife or your husband says? Guess what? There's a way to get set free and to find obedience, not as a way of limiting, but as a way of setting us free. Come back. We'll see you then. Everybody, this is John Michael. We're back, and we're going to be talking about a topic that is really misunderstood today. It's seen as something that's limiting, but indeed, what gospel obedience teaches is how to be set free. So we're going to be talking about obedience. I remember that Bill Cosby joke. He says, even the word is oppressive. You know, my wife tells me, obey. Obey. He says, even the way it rolls off the tongue makes you feel lousy. Well, guess what? Real obedience ain't like that. Look at this. 1 Samuel 15:22. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. Now, what does that mean? See, I mean, we've got rules in the church. We have liturgies. We have, you know, commandments. Well, are we supposed to obey that? Is that sacrifice? Shouldn't I show up at Mass and celebrate the sacrifice? Isn't that good enough? No. We have to obey. And it's because obey means a whole lot more than we think it does. First of all, we live in an era that is an individualistic era. We live in the era of individualism. Well, individualism is individuation gone wrong, gone too far. There was a great Franciscan theologian. His name was Duns Scotus, and he had a huge effect on the spirituality and the theology of John Paul II and Benedict XVI. And he promoted what was called individuation. Individuation is the absolute uniqueness and the value and how special each individual person is. You are an unrepeatable miracle of God. But it's always seen against the backdrop of community. Individualism takes the importance of the individual, divorces it from community, and therefore the will of the individual takes absolute preeminence over the community. And what ends up happening is we end up rolling over each other. We end up, you know, I'm important, more important than you. My rights are more important than yours, and we end up kind of abusing each other and hurting each other. So that's not where we want to go. We want to indeed understand individuation, which places the importance of each individual within this context of the community of creation. You know, no man is an island. When it rains, everybody gets wet. When it's hot, everybody sweats. See? We're in a community together, and we are also in a community of the church. We're in a community of our families. See, we are a community. So the individual does not take precedence over the family, over the church, over the human family. We are in the context of this community. That's the proper context for it. And so when we only want my rights, I want to be unrestricted, I don't want anybody telling me what to do, obedience seems like a bad thing. But when we are in the context of community, obedience is indeed a good thing. I don't know about you guys, we practice it already, don't we? I mean, when the light is red, you'd better stop or you're going to get hit. When it's green, go, or you're going to clog up the traffic. Well, that's obedience. Whether you know it or not, that's obedience. It just makes sense. But there's a deeper aspect to obedience that I really want to look at. And this is where it gets really, in my opinion, it gets really fun. Saint Benedict in the 6th century says, 5th and 6th century, he begins the rule by saying, "Listen, my son, to a father's instruction, from a father who loves you." And then he goes on to speak of obedience. And the biblical word for obedience, and indeed later in the Latin, it means to listen. To learn how to listen. To listen to God, and to learn how to hear God speaking to us through creation, through the human family, and in a very special way, in the body of Christ. To learn how to hear Jesus when I learn to listen to my brothers and sisters in Christ. And Benedict, in a sense, he starts out with all this obedience to the leaders of the monastic communities. And then at the very end of the rule, he basically says where this is headed to is learning how to listen to every community member. Wow. So obedience is learning how to listen. That's hard. In our culture, we are talking all the time. We've got music and activity all the time. We don't know what it is to be still anymore. We don't know how to come to the quiet. Everything is frenetic, active. More and more in the ministry and the media of television, you know, boy, I'll tell you, the average attention span, they keep you on a shot for 2 seconds. Because modern people can't stay focused for more than 2 seconds. In the old days, they used to shoot an entire scene from start to finish. Nowadays, they cut, they do a line, they cut, they... Why? Different angles. It's moving. Bang, 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 bang. We have to learn how to be still and to know that He is God. So learning to be obedient is learning how to be still, learning how to listen. Question. When somebody's speaking to you, are the objections to what they're saying racing into your mind like that? Are we putting together our answer before they finish speaking? That's a very common occurrence. I do it all the time. You probably do it too. When you learn how to walk in meditation, in prayer, you learn how to hear what a person is saying. You can hear from start to finish. And when you, through meditation, rediscover your own spirit, your own soul, an amazing thing happens. Suddenly you can hear the spirit, you can hear the soul of the person who's speaking. They may not be good at speaking. They may not express themselves well. It doesn't matter. You can hear their heart. See? So obedience is first and foremost learning how to be still, to know God. Now we can know each other. Now, when the Pope speaks, or the pastor speaks, or the bishop speaks, or the president speaks, each in their right place and in their right order, we learn how to hear, what are they trying to say? And you know, when we learn to hear the heart of people, the soul of people, the spirit of people, suddenly we're much, much more apt to want to work with them, to go along with them, not to resist them, not to fight them, not to be disobedient.
Take all my freedom, my liberty, my will. I have, you've given to me. So I offer it up to you. I surrender it all to Jesus. I surrender it all to God's will. I surrender it all for the kingdom of God. I surrender my life, my all. I surrender it all to Jesus. I surrender it all to God's will. I surrender it all for the kingdom of God. I surrender my life. I surrender it all to God's will. I surrender it all for the kingdom of God. I surrender my life.
Well, hello, everybody. This is John Michael again. And you know, this obedience brings us into that silence. I love what Luke chapter 2, verse 51 says. And he, Jesus, went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them, Mary and Joseph. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. He was obedient. He listened. He learned. In his humanity, he was like us. He had to learn. And Mary kept all these things in her heart. She was the humble one, the listening one as well. There was this dance of obedience to God happening between Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. How cool is that? So it has a functional manifestation. Obedience, once you learn the spiritual dimension of being still, of hearing the spirit of a person, of a leader, of a member, of any community, of any organization, suddenly you're able to work together and not work against each other. I've been in parishes where this little group, that little group, they work against each other. They're polarized. They're turfy. They're fighting for their group, for their movement. And I go in to do these missions in parishes, and I'm going, folks, come on, stop it. Let's work together. So obedience, once you learn how to get rid of that ego, that pride, to be still, to be born again, then you begin to say, let's work together. So it's functional. So we are more obedient than we think, aren't we? We're willing to be very obedient when we get paid for it, when we get an earthly reward. What about a heavenly reward? What about an eternal reward for a sacrifice of obedience that we make in the here and now, just in the blink of an eye? My life in eternity is just the wink of an eye. How can I not sacrifice this small part of this wink of an eye in eternity for the sake of eternity? See, when you put things in the eternal perspective, these little sacrifices, these little obediences, they're not so hard. They're easy in light of eternity. So things are functional. What are some of the functional things that we're taught about? Well, in the Catholic teaching, we are taught objective teachings on faith and morality. Faith, that means, who is God? Who is Jesus? What's the Trinity? What are the sacraments? What's ecclesiology? How is the church constituted? Morality. Should I steal or not? Should I kill or not? Should I be unchaste or not? Should I be avaricious or filling myself with consumeristic things or not? Well, the church gives us some really good teachings. They're very general on how to function in being a Christian. So we are taught, are we not, about faith and morality. Oh, it's a little uncomfortable. You know, when the wheat of my life is cut down and processed and turned into bread, that's uncomfortable. Sure it is. But if I will let God process me, then he will turn me from just a lone grain of wheat on a stalk into a warm loaf of bread that's nourishing for me and for everyone. See? So, yeah, it's a little uncomfortable. When the dough of my life gets put into the pan of Christ, well, I might want to hang out over there, hang out over here. So I feel a little constrained. But if I let God do this with me, he will turn me into a beautiful, warm, brown loaf of bread. How good is that? See, that's what obedience does. The old example, you know, I'm the train. I want to go where I want to go. Well, no, God says, if you go over there, you're going to go off the cliff. Let's stay on this track as a railroad. See? Well, now I'm able to go more smoothly and get to my destination safely. Being obedient is learning how to listen to that teaching from God through the church, through the scriptures, through apostolic tradition, for the teaching of the apostles and their successors, through the teaching authority of the church, when we gather together and come up not with just the opinion of one guy or one gal, but this is the teaching of the whole church. Wow. So I'm going to listen to that, and I'm going to prosper more in my life because of it. So it comes to us through popes, bishops, pastors, lay leaders. In religious life, we have community leaders. So it comes to us very practically, you know, in things that we can actually reach out and touch. These teachings on faith and morality, we're not just left up to our own lights. We have leaders who help us. And they, in turn, you know, we must listen to the sensus fidelium, the sense of the faithful. What is the Holy Spirit saying in the whole church? And those leaders listen to that as well. So it's for our good. In communities, we have rules and constitutions. This is the rule and constitution of the Brothers and Sisters of Charity. That's the community that I'm a part of. Other communities have other rules. Benedictines have the rule of St. Benedict. Franciscans have, you know, the rule of Francis of Assisi, 1223. Dominicans have their own constitutions and the rule of St. Augustine. The list goes on and on. Everybody has this, their own rule and constitution. So I'm given, how do I be a brother of charity? And these rules were put together not just out of thin air. No, they came from the life of our community on how we live. How do we get it done? How do we live the gospel according to our charism? So I'm able to go back and say, well, here's one, charismatic. It says in common prayer, in the common prayer of the community, we are open to the expressions of the Holy Spirit as found in the Pentecostal and charismatic movements. In this freedom to move in the Holy Spirit, let reason and reverence be safeguarded through grace and discernment on the part of both the community and the leadership. Boy, we learned that the hard way. Nobody just made that up. That came from our life experience. So I can be obedient. I can listen to that because it's coming up from the experience of the community that I'm a part of. Same thing is true in parishes and dioceses and the Church Universal. Is that cool or what? Well, where does the individual conscience come into this? What if I don't agree with this? Sometimes you won't. Well, you have to kind of go, okay, if I disagree with what the leader is saying, the Pope, the bishop, the pastor, the community leader, the lay ministry leader, I have some very clear things to kind of go by. Is it in accordance with the teaching of the Church in faith and morality? Does it go against the rule and constitution or the guidelines of my community or of my faith community, of my ministry? See? So I have some things that I can go back to. And if that leader is teaching in gross opposition to those things, in good conscience you can say, I don't resist your authority, but I can't do this. See? If you ask me to do this, I will be breaking my communion with Jesus, so I can't do it. That's called the freedom of conscience. And it's primary in the teaching of the Church. But it doesn't mean you get a free ride all the time either. When you follow your conscience, sometimes it means there's consequences to that. Well, I can't follow what my leader's asking me to do. He's breaking the rule and constitution. You know, well, guess what? If this goes on and on, maybe I should not be a part of this community anymore. That would be a real sad thing in my life. It would be a consequence. But in faithfulness to my conscience, I would do it. So sometimes we have to follow our conscience. Most of the things, though, about obedience are not these big things. Most of us agree on the big stuff. It's the little stuff of life. In our community, we say you have to learn how to grow a green bean for God. Little stuff. Functional stuff. The leader says, I want you to grow the green bean this way. You go, that's not the way my daddy taught me to grow green beans. I don't want to do it that way. But the way he's asking me to do it is not in opposition to faith and morality or the rule of the constitutions, and it will get the green bean grown. So guess what? I do what he asked me to do. And I learn how to do it in joy and freedom because I am listening to what Jesus is saying to me through him and learning to let go of my ego, my pride, my need to be right, and my need to always be in control. So obedience is spiritual and is functional. It is listening and it is liberating. I pray that you don't just offer sacrifices to God through the liturgy, the sacraments, whatever, and just kind of go through like a robot. I pray that today you have a heart, a spirit, a soul of obedience so that everything you say, everything you do can bring forth the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I love you guys. Be obedient to Jesus today and prosper.
All whose soul is
is hungering. He is the bread of life. Come home. Come home. Come home. Come home. Come home. Come home, little children. Come home to stay. Come home to a father who loves you. Come home to a mother who prays.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.